This is a Smart New Income Next Gen Entrepreneur Podcast with me, your host, Andy Asher. And here is where today's show all began.
It kind of fell upon me, and once again, I was only thinking this might be like a fun hobby to do. So I think it might have been different if I was really thinking about it for a business.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Andy Asher, and you just heard a clip from Judy Henderson Townsend and her story of how she combined a willingness to take a chance along with a sense of adventure that she transformed into something that's fun, exciting, and, well, it's nudging at $1 million a year.
And that's when I just had an aha moment, even though I had never touched a mannequin before or worked in a retail store. I knew the Bay Area was a creative kind of community that could use a mannequin rental business.
That's right, a mannequin rental business. Now, more about Judy in a minute, but first you're listening to Smart New Income, Next Gen Entrepreneurs, the podcast, blog, and website where it's all about showing you how, not simply teaching it. And thanks, as always, for joining us, and I hope you like our shows and you give it an honest review over at iTunes. Now, let's get back to Judy. It's about mannequins and what we see in department stores, and if you're like me, you either ignore them, they're just part of the store scenery, or every now and then you chuckle at what some creative person just built. As you might guess, there's a lot more to it than that. Plus, it's fun for Judy, and it brings in a pretty nice income.
Most people think that my customers are retail stores, and granted, those are the most of the business customers, but a lot of individuals like mannequins for art projects or for Halloween. And now that more and more individuals are having their own online stores, either through sites like Etsy or eBay, they too now need a mannequin. So I kind of came along at the right time where online sales kind of, first of all, made it much more easy for me to make my products visible to people all over the world and as well as, of course, in the U.S. But also there was a greater demand now for individuals wanting a mannequin.
But now, 15 years later, and that was back when Judy made a connection with a guy on Craigslist who wanted to unload a bunch of mannequins.
He mentioned that he used to rent mannequins. He was a former window dresser, and he rents mannequins for a living. But now that he's leaving the Bay Area, there wasn't going to be a place to rent a mannequin. And that's when I just had an aha moment, even though I had never touched a mannequin before or worked in a retail store. I knew the Bay Area was a creative kind of community that could use a mannequin rental business, especially since I only was planning to do this part-time, not full-time.
So in the back of your head, you thought, did you think this might work, or just kind of fell upon you?
It kind of fell upon me. And once again, I was only thinking this might be like a fun hobby to do. So I think it might have been different if I was really thinking about it for a business need. Secondly is that I just thought it was kind of interesting, and I've always liked mannequins. So it was something that I was passionate about. It was going to be what I thought a hobby that paid me some money. And I didn't think that much further than there. And because he was leaving town, I had to make my decision quickly. And that really worked good for me because if I thought about it too long, I probably would have talked myself out of it.
Well, think about it. At that point, she had nothing invested in the idea or project other than maybe thoughts of a garden ornament. Maybe you've seen them from time to time at some of your more interesting, eclectic homes in the area.
No, my original reason for looking for a mannequin was I was going to cover it with some mosaic tiles and put it in my garden. So that was the initial motivation. It ended up just being sort of like the carrot that kind of led me to something else. I never did end up mosaicing that mannequin, but I do have lots of mannequins in my garden.
You know, Judy, I mentioned earlier, I think of mannequins as a kind of a throwback to another era, but they are just really as important now for showing off new lines of clothes as ever. I guess it's just because, for me, they've always seemed just to blend in with everything else in the store.
Exactly. We're kind of like the chorus girls. You know, the clothes are the star, and the mannequins are the chorus girls on the back in the background, but very much needed. And I think that's what's so wonderful for, I think, what baby boomers can see, is that, wow, many times these things that we maybe have a unique perspective on, that now by using it with internet tools, we can create a business out of it. And the same business principles apply, whether or not you're doing something online or offline. And I think that's what we can just take our experience and apply it online and really create a new revenue stream for us as we retire, or a way to just keep staying engaged and also still have some flexibility. I don't want to work a regular 9-to-5 job. And the internet gives me the flexibility to have sales generate while I'm asleep.
And Judy, what I hear is the most amazing message that you're telling us is that you can simply take a small idea and grow it into something big.
Absolutely. And I guess what I'm just trying to encourage is because I was kind of unique because my father was an electrical engineer, so I grew up very comfortable with technology, and I worked for a dot-com company. When I meet other people in my age group when I'm 57, sometimes they have a little hesitancy to utilize technology, or they just think it is something more for entertainment purposes. And I'm just here to show as an example that you can build a business out of a little niche, and this niche would not be successful if I could not reach people broadly through the internet.
And for someone who even is remotely thinking about trying to accomplish something that you've already achieved, there is an overwhelming feeling, particularly when it comes down to the technology side.
No, but I still do definitely get plenty of support. I mean, the good news, there's so much information online to do self-teaching, as well as I've certainly hired consultants, because initially things like Facebook felt very overwhelming and intimidating to me. But it's sort of like swimming. You just kind of wade in gently, and then, you know, first you kind of get used to the temperature of the water, and the next thing you know, you start to swim, and you have somebody who, you know, gives you some tools or tips on how to correct your stroke. If you just kind of take it step by step and not just kind of look at everything, it makes it a lot easier.
So you mentioned you started this actually a little bit later in life. What led up to, what can you tell us just what was going on prior to that and then?
Yeah, well, I had tried to run a business when I was in my 30s, and the experience was just so devastating for me financially and emotionally. I thought, wow, I must be a failure at business. I went running back to corporate America, which I didn't really like, but, you know, the stability and the perks I liked. Well, then I went to go work for a dot-com during the dot-com bust. And it was a small company that ended up going bust itself. But what happened is, when I was there, I was around so many young people who had been serial entrepreneurs, who had made money, lost money, started lots of businesses. But I just got a new perspective about business. I realized that my business failure didn't mean that I was a failure at business. I just had a business that failed. I learned from it. What I realized with these guys, they had a lot more confidence. They weren't necessarily smarter than I was or had any better business ideas. They just had a lot more confidence. And that's what I realized had been lacking with me, and I think many times lacking with a lot of women or anybody who didn't really grow up with entrepreneurs or a business background in mind. I mean, when I worked for large companies, I was very much removed from the big decision makers. So I really thought, wow, maybe there was this big mystery with business. I realized it wasn't. So I ended up just taking a workshop. There's a lot of community organizations that provide workshops and trainings for entrepreneurs. And I took that, not really knowing what I wanted to do, but just knew I needed to supplement, you know, my education, but my regular formal education with something like this. And I took the class, didn't really know what I was going to do. And then 6 months later was when I stumbled upon the mannequin. So I'm saying that in terms of I had some preparation, and then preparation meets opportunity, creates results.
You know, and we learn from the people you were working with, dot-com, you know, that failure isn't such a big deal. And in fact, you learn from it. We all grew up thinking failure is just devastating.
Yes, it's amazing. Something about the technology field, they have much more of like a can-do attitude, and it's much more about experimenting and willing to risk. And a failure, you're right, it's not a failure. It's just like, okay, what did we learn from it? And I think if that's the big, I thought it was just me as a woman, but maybe it is kind of common with people in our generation, where we take failure a lot more personally.
Well, Judy, you sure should be complimented for blazing some new territory. So tell us, how did things get going right from the get-go when you first launched the website and things started to go from there?
The first week my website went live, I had an email from a customer in Canada was coming to the Bay Area for a trade show and needed to rent a mannequin. That's when I realized, wow, this internet is really giving me the exposure to people that I wasn't even attempting to market to. So I started with the 50 mannequins, just a rental business. And I probably would have done that a little bit longer, but 9/11 happened. And after 9/11, you know, that was such a devastating time. But it also freed me in a sense that, wow, I want to take a risk because you never know what's going to happen. And I don't want to continue to just live my life in fear or wondering could I have done something. It kind of freed me to take a risk, as well as my dot-com job I had went under after 9/11. I didn't want to work at a traditional job. This was kind of like my time to really take a chance. And I decided, even though the mannequin business was still in its early stages, but I was going to put much more effort into it, not just treat it as a hobby, but as a business venture. So I started accumulating more mannequins. That's when I realized that retail chains would often throw mannequins in the trash just because they were changing their style. Not that the mannequins were damaged or not useful, but they just were no longer the style. Sort of like mini skirts in style one year, maxi skirts in style the next year. Mini skirts are still good to wear, but it's just old style. So I was started accumulating mannequins from retail stores, and that allowed me to grow from 50 to 500 mannequins in a six-month period of time. Unbelievable.
That is.
The mannequins were still in my home, okay? My backyard, my garage stalls, the basement. It was truly mannequin madness, hence the name of my company. But with all this extra inventory, I could switch from renting to selling mannequins. And that's what really took me on my way. So I guess it's kind of like to be open to new opportunities. I mean, just starting a business was new. But it's now grown into areas that I could have never anticipated just because I was willing to take the chance.
And then now it's a million-dollar company, right?
We're right at that threshold. That's always kind of our aim to get to. You know, we always get close, but we haven't been able to cross that threshold. But I hired a business coach this year, which is not something I'd ever done before. I wish I had actually done it sooner. And she's really helping me to see, where I can improve and expand.
Now, your business in history has been real brick and mortar, big warehouses and all, and that type of thing. But do you work out of your house or an office, or how do you do it?
Now I do have a warehouse, but the bulk of our business is online, and we work with drop shippers, meaning we have different companies that we are representing their mannequin line. And so, therefore, we don't have to house any of the inventory or ship the inventory. We just simply focus on what my strength is marketing. Now, my warehouse is here, is just where I have local mannequins that I've sourced from retail stores here. The combination of now, it's sort of like the new thing now is to be multi-channel, like you're in a lot of different places. So, yes, we have our online presence, we have a warehouse store, and then even online we're in multiple places. We have our blog, we have our Facebook, we have our Pinterest. All of those are different places where people can both find us and buy products.
You know, this day and age, too, there's no such thing as just strictly brick and mortar. You pretty much have to be online, too.
You really do. I mean, my business would not have survived if I was only depending on local business. And I guess that's what I see as the opportunity, particularly for someone who has a niche business, is that, wow, you can connect with people who have this same interest in that niche all over the world. I mean, I could reach more customers, but because mannequins are so big and bulky to ship, I many times can't service someone who emails me in Australia. But the fact that at least if they are finding me just tells me, wow, this internet is such a great tool.
That's true. Now, did you go through the whole initial process of putting together a business plan and seeking out to borrow money? And I mean, this seemed to be the old traditional way of starting business.
No. And that's the great news. That tradition went away. First of all, no bank was going to loan me any money when I'm talking about the business that I never had any experience in doing and didn't really even have any kind of role model to point as an example of here's what can be done. But the beauty about the internet, it doesn't cost nearly as much. I mean, I spent $2,500 to get my initial inventory, and I've never spent that much for mannequins before. But, the cost of doing business now has gone down and allows small companies like myself to have a really strong presence online, and people thought I was a lot bigger than I was. I got a call from a customer, a big-name retailer in Italy, who contacted me because they saw that we had some mannequins that were no longer in production. And even though they could afford to buy something new from some of the traditional places, they liked what we had. If they'd known that we were selling mannequins out of our backyard in Oakland, California, I doubt they would have bought from us. But the online allows you to create a new persona, if you will. No one knows how old I am. They don't know my ethnicity. They don't know where I live. None of that. And that's what really helps to even the playing field between, say, if I had a brick and mortar, I'd just have some little corner store, probably in a not so nice part of town. But now it looks like I have a big presence just because the internet allows you to be invisible.
You know, I think you're really an example of somebody who has is a good spokesperson, I think, for those of us who later in life, let's say, want to do something. And it's just a matter of nurturing that idea into something that can work.
And finding the right resources. I found that early on when I was speaking, I don't mean this in a negative way, but a lot of times when I was talking to young millennials, they had a way of kind of talking down to me because, and they made the technology a lot more complicated than it is. And that's why I'm in the process of writing a series of blog posts to help other seniors like myself understand technology. It's not a big mystery. Granted, there may be some terms that we're not familiar with, and I think that can sometimes feel intimidating. And I don't mean it that the millennials weren't trying to talk condescending, but I think because they moved so fast and because I was getting it in a slower rate, they sometimes then made me feel not as confident. But all I needed to do was just kind of slow the process down. And then it's like, oh, all of a sudden the light clicked on. So now I think there are a lot more people who can talk to seniors in a way that we can understand, and that will make it a lot easier for us to embrace technology than maybe even 10 years ago.
Boy, that's such a good story, because I feel the same thing a lot. And as you say, they're not attempting to talk down. It's a different way of communicating. And also, they may not understand anything any better than you, but they just kind of talk differently, I guess. And so it can be
a
little...
They talk differently. They're more familiar with using it. So certain things that they take for granted, we may still be new at doing. But once we get a hold of it, it's like, oh, okay. And that's why they say seniors are actually more successful in business, because we're bringing, you know, our experience, maybe our network, you know, patience to stick things out. So once we marry that with technology that allows us to really expand on our skill set, we really many times have more success in starting businesses than a younger person.
Now, did I see somewhere where you are into Sears and Nordstrom's? Or I know I was reading that, and maybe I took it out of context.
No, absolutely. Those are some of the many retail chains that we work with when they are remodeling their stores, because they're always constantly trying to update their mannequins. So they allow us to recycle their mannequins. We provide this as a free service to them, and it does two things. It keeps them from putting mannequins in the landfill, which they don't belong, and stores are now much more environmentally conscious than they were before. And more importantly, it saves them on dumpster fees, sort of like, you know, green is the new black, because normally they would have to pay for these huge dumpster bins to put the mannequins in and be sent to the landfill. So now they divert that by selling, or sometimes they donate their old mannequins to us, and then we resell those mannequins to other customers.
So, Judy, let's jump into another area now, which is a big one, which is social media. I'm sure you've had to face that and gotten your head, had to get your head wrapped around it.
Well, definitely. When I say technology, that includes several areas. That's certainly social media. And pick which social media is strong for you. You don't have to be every place. Like, we're very strong on Pinterest, but we're not as strong on Twitter. And a lot just depends on what the product is or service that you're selling. You'll do a little research to find out what social media kind of speaks to that audience. Certainly using computers, and that just means not just physically knowing how to, you know, you send an email, but some of the different things that can help make your business run much more efficiently using technology, whether it's having an e-commerce website that does a lot of the work behind the scenes for you, whether it's having something like QuickBooks to help your bookkeeping a lot easier. But I think number one, just kind of like look at other examples of other people, because there's still so many things that are yet to be created. I mean, there wasn't anybody doing what I was doing when I got started, at least not at this level. But, you know, I started with my own passion, and then I sometimes looked at other areas that weren't directly related to mannequins, but something that was similar, like another niche business that I could use and apply to the mannequin business.
Okay, then that was kind of my next question. What's next now for Judy Henderson Townsend?
What's interesting is that the do-it-yourself movement and the maker movement has just exploded recently, and there are a lot of projects that people do with mannequins, and we are now into a new area of creating digital download tutorials, meaning we're doing tutorials on how to, you know, turn a mannequin leg into a lamp, and we now create a tutorial that we offer for sale on our website for like $5, you know, it's sort of like our equivalent of an app. You know, a 99-cent app, we're looking like a tutorial because, first of all, like I said, the do-it-yourself movement has increased. And that's a product that now I can sell to people all over the world and don't have to worry about shipping costs. So, once again, that's something that wasn't even possible, you know, 12 years ago when I got started. But now it's just a matter of just keeping current with what the trends are going on and how I can adapt what I'm doing to what's new.
So you've been telling us how you got from there to here, and then the next step is to... how to stay current for the future.
Exactly. And it's sort of like just expanding from there. I mean, my poor business started out with renting mannequins. Then I went to selling used mannequins. Then I started importing mannequins and selling new mannequins. Then I started doing mannequin repairs. Then we offered our warehouse as a place where people could rent in order to have a photo shoot there. So I, you know, still stayed to my true venture of mannequins, but allowed me to have so many different tentacles from there. And I think a lot of businesses, if you're open, you can find there's other kind of ancillary items that are related to what you do. And the good news now, there's so many different markets in which to sell them.
Sounds like you're having fun with what you're doing.
Totally. I mean, I don't see myself retiring at all. As they say, when you love what you're doing, it doesn't feel like you work. And like I said, technology makes it so much easier. I'm not going into an office or a warehouse every day to do business. There's many times that said orders are coming through while I'm asleep at night. And I just push a button and the order gets fulfilled by somebody else. How easy is that?
Well, you make it sound easy, but I know there was a lot of hard work to get there. What else can you share as we wrap up, Judy?
If anybody else wants to know more information about particular e-commerce or tools in which that I use, I have a blog post that I've written about that. I'd be happy to share.
Beautiful. Thanks, Judy.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
Well, that's our show for today. Thanks a lot for listening. Please take a moment or two to give an honest opinion of the show over at iTunes. It can help us a lot. And until next time, this is Andy Asher at SPI.